sure that being that it's the 9 days, many of us have been invited to a siyum here or a siyum there, and we've been asked to participate in a sudas mitzvah in which they're going to serve fleishigs. I don't want to talk today about whether or not you're allowed to participate in such a thing, but it did make me think about, generally, what is the idea of making a siyum all about? Where does this come from? So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches that Abaye made a comment to his students, and he said, Tesili, tiki chazina tsurva mirabanan tishalim mesechte, when I have one of my students that will complete a mesechta, avidna yumatavale rabanan, I will sponsor a fleishig siyum, doesn't say fleishig, but it says, I will make a yumtif, which seemingly means he'll make some sort of festive elaborate meal that the entire yeshiva, that all the other students should participate in as well. Now, on that very Gemara, I had an insight a number of years ago. I shared it with Rabbi Asher Weiss, and he told me that he very much agreed with the point, and he subsequently, I've heard, has said it over. So I'll share with you this point, and that is the Gemara there says that Abaye is the one who shared this Simchas HaTorah with his Talmidim, and he said, anyone who's willing to make a Siyum, I will sponsor. It's on the house. It's on me. I'll sponsor the Siyum in honor of their finishing a Mesechta. So I thought it was interesting that we have a Gemara Meseches Erevin, where the Gemara says when you have a number of people who live in a courtyard, in a chutzar together, in order for them to be allowed to carry from one house into the other, or from their house into the public domain there, they have to make what we refer to as an Erev Chatzerus. So that's what every community is supposed to do. So the Gemara there says that Rava once come to visit Abaye, and he looks around and he says to him, you don't have an Erev Chatzerus? How come your community, they have such a great Talmud Chacham like you, nobody knows how to make an Erev Chatzerus? Abaye says, I don't have money to buy a box of matzahs. How am I supposed to afford to make an Erev Chatzerus? What do you want me to do? So that was Abaye's response, and he said, therefore I haven't made an Erev Chatzerus because I just simply cannot afford the very minimal amount of money that's necessary in order to make the Erev in my community. Not only that, we have another Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel, where we're told also about Abaye that he was so poor and he had no money and he got sick from the fact that he wasn't eating and he couldn't take care of himself. The Gemara says in Ksubas that Abaye didn't drink wine because he couldn't afford to ever have wine. That was considered to be a great delicacy in his house, and it was something that he never had. So I was thinking, you have all these different Gemaras and many more that tell us about this Abaye who couldn't drink wine, who couldn't eat meat, who got sick because he didn't have enough food in his house, and who couldn't make an Erev Chatzeris, he couldn't afford a box of matzahs. And yet that Abaye gets up in public and he says, if one of my Talmidim is going to make a Siyam and a Masechta, I'm willing to pay for it. Where he's going to get the money, I have no idea, but you see his tremendous Avas HaTorah, you see how excited he was about the fact that somebody was willing to make a Siyam, that somebody was making a great accomplishment in his yeshiva, and how encouraging he was to that person. So that's the Gemara where we're told about Abaye making a siyum. But really the truth is it doesn't start with Abaye. It really begins with the Medrash and Shir HaShirim Rabbah, where we're told about Shlomo HaMelech. So the Psukim tell us that Begivo Nira Hashem al Shlomo Bachalom HaLaila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Shlomo HaMelech in the middle of the night in a dream. Vayomer Elokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an offer that he can't refuse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Sha'al ma etein lach, ask me for whatever you want, and I will grant it to you, Shlomo HaMelech. Amar Shlomo, so Shlomo says to himself, well, here's my chance, what should I ask for? So he says, on the one hand, Eshal kesev izav avanim tovas amargalios, who knows in thee? If I ask to become the wealthiest man in the world, obviously Hashem's going to give it to me. He told me I can ask for anything I want. However, he says, I have something better that I can ask for, which encompasses everything, and that is, Hare ani shoal es hachachma. If I ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to make me a brilliant, a smart, and intellectual, then hakol b'chlal, then everything's included. Why? Because with those brains, I can go out and make a good business deal, and with that, I can go out and I can run all kinds of ways in which I can make money also. So if I have a very intellectual mind, that will be something that will be helpful. Now, that doesn't mean that every intellectual person is successful in life, but Shlomo HaMelech understood that that was the way to go. Miyad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him, he granted him chachma, and as we know, Shlomo HaMelech was the Chacham Mikol Adam. And yet it says, Vayavo, immediately after that, Vayavo Yerushalayim, in order to celebrate this tremendous gift of wisdom that he was given, he travels to Yerushalayim, Vayamu Lefnei Aron Bris Hashem, Vayal Olos, Vayal Shlamim, Vayas Mishtel Achal Avadim. He makes a tremendous celebration over the fact that he's been granted this incredible gift of intellect, of wisdom, and of the mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Amar Rabbi Lezer said, from that story of Shlomo HaMelech we learn, Mikan Sha'osin Suda the Gemra Shel Torah. From here we learn, which is an interesting source, but he says, from here we learn that when a person accomplishes a lot, when a person has the gift of wisdom, and now you feel that you've gotten to a sense of completion, so you have to make some sort of celebration. You have to make a simcha. You have to make a seuda legemra shel Torah. This is also something that we find in the Maseches Tainis. It's relevant for next week, not really for now. But the Gemara says in both Baba Basra and Maseches Tainis, Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asara'av. One of the most festive days of the year was Tu B'Av. Now, we look at it on the calendar, we don't even understand what's so unique, what's so special about Tu B'Av. But the Gemara there goes into a list of a number of historical events that took place on Tu B'Av, which is a reason why we should all feel happy, why we should all celebrate. One of the reasons the Gemara gives is that was a Yom Shepasku Milichros Atzei HaMa'aracha. That was the day on which they finished cutting down all the wood that was necessary for that year in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi says, the Rashbam, I'm sorry, writes, that from here you see that Begemer Shel Mitzvah Gedola, when you finish a hard, arduous task, it took them a long time to cut down all the wood and to dry it out and to have it ready for the Beis HaMikdash. On the day that they finished preparing this long, long mitzvah that took them an extended period of time to fulfill, so they make a mitzvah l'smach, says Rashi. That's the reason why we celebrate on Tu B'Av. And therefore, Rashi says, that's really the understanding of that Gemara. Says the Mishnah Berura, from here we learn that when a person finishes completing the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, let's say, for example, I pay a lot of money to have someone commission a Sefer Torah written on my behalf. I don't know how to write it by myself, but I know that I paid a lot of money, I invested a lot of time in it. Says the Mishnah Berura, from that Gemara we learn that we have the practice that we should also make some sort of big simcha, we should make a big suda, because it is the end of a long mitzvah that has taken us a lot of energy, a lot of effort in order to accomplish. I do remember one time I was with my father in Eretz Yisrael when the Nefesh B'Nefesh flight landed. So it came in, I think they try to land the flights at times when the airport is not as crowded, because they're chartered flights and they have a big celebration, so they try to do it at times when the airport is not crowded, and I heard they also try to do it at times when it's not too hot outside, so that's why they do it very often early in the morning when everybody won't be too hot standing outside on the tarmac. So we went as part of a delegation to greet the flight on the tarmac, and it was an amazing experience. I would encourage anyone to go if you're ever in Eretz Yisrael when they have one of these flights. There's actually one next week. But it's really an amazing feeling to be there when so many hundreds of Olim are moving to Eretz Yisrael. So we all came early in the morning, and it was too early for us to daven Shacharis. We got there to the airport, to the tarmac, and we all brought our talis and tefillin, and we were davening there with the Olim who had just landed. And when it came time for Tachanun, my father made the psak that he felt nobody should say Tachanun. So everybody was wondering, why don't you say Tachanun? You're such a Zionist. So the answer is no, it's nothing to do with Zionism. My father felt the reason why is because everybody, or most, would agree that this is a very important mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and it takes tremendous effort and tremendous courage and a lot of time in order to plan it and in order for it finally to happen. So if we make a Suda when you finish a Sefer Torah, and we make a Suda when you finish a Masechta and the Daf Yomi, so how can you not make a Suda? How can you not be Mesameach when you finally have the opportunity to perform the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So he felt the same way we don't say Tachanun by any of these other things. If you have, let's say, a Suda that is because that's being celebrated, a Pidyon HaBen or a mitzvah of some other sort, we wouldn't say Tachanun. So too, when you have a Suda that is celebrating something of that nature, he felt we shouldn't say Tachanun either, because that was the minyan designated for all of the people who are just finishing to perform a very long mitzvah. So the Rama, in two different places, both in Aruch Chaim and in Yeredeia, writes that this is the practice, that whenever we finish a Masechta, we're supposed to make a very elaborate simcha. So much so that the Maharshal, who was one of the contemporaries of the Beis Yosef, writes that he felt it's such a tremendous reason to celebrate, it's such an exciting time when you have the opportunity to finish a Masechta, so the Maharshal writes that he felt that on that occasion you should say Shah Simcha B'Ma'ono, the same phrase that you would say when you're at a chasana or when you're at a sheva brachas, you say the very special benching, Shah Simcha B'Ma'ono, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being Mesameach. So the Maharshal felt that should be added also when we bench at a siyum as well, because that is the greatest simcha in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maharshal writes that even though that was his feeling, the first time he went to a siyum and he did that, he said terrible things happened. He doesn't explain exactly what went wrong, but he said terrible things happened, so he said it's not a good idea. But you see that even though practically it's not a good idea, but he felt that it was worthy of such an occasion, and it's something that's on par with a chasana, or with something that's as exciting as that. So the Pnei Yeshua, when he talks about this idea of making a siyum, adds that it would be something that is not only designated for one who finishes a Masechta of Gemara, but he says it would be something that we can also apply to one who finishes a Sefer of Nevi'im Uksuvim. That's what the Pnei Yeshua writes. How does he know that to be the case? Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan, who had tremendous yisurim in his life, he had a very difficult life. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 of his children. Right? It says he used to walk around with a bone of one of his children after he buried the 10th one. He would go and be mechazik people and say, if I'm still living and I'm still okay, so you should all be able to get through your suffering as well. So the Gemara says that he used to study Iyov all the time. Rabbi Yochanan used to study Iyov. And it said whenever he finished Iyov, he would celebrate. So says the Pnei Yeshua, you see from there that even when a person just simply finishes one chelek, one portion, one section of Tanakh, that would be a reason to celebrate as well. So Rav Moshe discusses that in a tshuva, and he says, well, let's try to think about this a little bit. It's not just anybody who goes and opens up a Tanakh and starts reading through all of Tehillim, so all of a sudden you make a siyum. Says Rav Moshe, and this is his lashon, in Cain, Vada yishlomon mizeh, you certainly learn from that Gemara, shagam limud mikra b'chabura shenimshach ezazman. He says, if let's say we have a group of people that learn together, we get together every Shabbos and we learn Tanakh, or whatever it happens to be. And now after a long period of time, we finally finish a long project that we had. It's something that we were very excited about. He says, lo gara mikol mitzvah sheyesh lasos simcha umishta. We should make some sort of celebration, even though it's not a mesechta of Gemara, but it's something to celebrate. It's something to be happy about. V'yinach sheva sudas mitzvah, and he said that is certainly going to be considered a sudas mitzvah. We would allow you to eat fleishiks during the 9 days. There would be no question about it. However, he says, avo pashut, it's obvious to me, says Rav Moshe, shehu rak kishalamdo kifi pirish ha'emes. Says Rav Moshe, this is only if you have somebody who's learning Tanakh based on one of the real commentaries. Not that you just read the psukim and you figure out on your own what does it mean, and you try to come up with all kinds of hallucinations to figure out what you think the Torah or the Tanakh is teaching us. No, says Rav Moshe, you have to read it with echad mi perushe rabbeinu harishonim, velo beperushe me anashim de alma sherubam beduim ve'enam emes. Everybody has the right to give whatever drushes they want, says Rav Moshe, but in the end of the day, you want to really consider this as a tremendous simcha. That's only when you really study it the right way that it's supposed to be studied, with really a classical mefarish that gives us insight into the psukim, the real way it's supposed to be learned. So I once saw an interesting comment made by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he says, you know, you think about where we started, we spoke about the story that Abaye used to make a declaration every year that whoever of his Talmidim will finish a Masechta, he would go and sponsor a Siyum. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't understand. The yeshiva of Abaye probably had great Talmidei Chachamim. So I would imagine every day there was probably somebody making a Siyum. Everybody was probably learning on their own at nights or early in the mornings or whatever they were doing. They were going ahead and they were finishing Masechtas every day. So what did Abaye do? Every day he was paying to have another party and another celebration. Is that really what was going on? How can that be? It's not something that is sustainable. So writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, what it means is the following. If you look carefully in that Gemara, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, it says, Hai man deshalim Masechta. Somebody who finishes a Masechta, he says, it doesn't just mean that you complete from page Beis till page whatever it is. It's not just that you complete the pages. Hainu, rather, what it means is Shalamad v'yaga v'hishlim chok limudo haroi. It means that you actually invested of yourself, that you actually mastered and you acquired, you were conscientious and diligent when you studied that Masechta. And now that you're finished, you've walked away with something that you're proud of, with something that's what for all of us to be excited about. Then said Abaye, I'll make a siyum. That doesn't happen every day. So we have many people who might learn in the Daf Yomi, and I don't mean this as a negative comment at all, but we all participate and we take part in it, and it's a tremendous thing that we wake up early in the morning to do it. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman, do we have a right to say that we've really mastered and we've worked so hard to really get to that goal, to understand every page of what we learn? So Abaye said, I'm going to reserve my siyum for the one who's shalem mesechta, who walks away from the mesechta, such a shalem. Somebody who walks away with such a mastery of the information, that is when Abaye used to feel that it was a reason to celebrate. Let's just close with one final comment, and that is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has an interesting idea, and that is that not only do we make a siyum begemra shel Torah, not only when we finish a mesechta, or when we finish something in Tanakh, or if we finish a mitzvah that we were doing, like we said, you write a sefer Torah, or you do something of that nature, so you make a great celebration. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the same would apply by someone who is gomer ha-sefer, somebody who finishes publishing a sefer. If you've ever been involved in helping somebody publish a sefer, you know how difficult it is. First, you have to write it. Then you have to edit it. Then you have to check it over again so many times until you can't even look at it anymore. And finally, after that, you have to start looking for the sponsors. And after you finish looking for the sponsors, then you have to publish it, and then it doesn't come out the way you wanted it to. So when the Sefer finally comes out the way you wanted it to come out, and now you have your beautiful Chidushei Torah that you want to share with the world, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he feels that's a reason to celebrate. That's no less of a simcha than any other mitzvah that took you a long time and a lot of concentration and effort. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this is a good enough reason to make a celebration as well. And he ends off and he says he thinks you should make a bracha of Shechiyanu Ratova Ametiv when you print a sefer. I believe the Netziv writes such an idea as well, that when printing a sefer and publishing it, you should make a Ratova Ametiv. I know Rav Asher Weiss told me so. If you don't feel comfortable relying on that, which many Achronim do not, so they say you should put on a Beged Chadash, the same way on Leil Rosh Hashanah we put on a new article of clothing or we eat a new fruit that allows us to say Shechiyanu. We have in mind both items that we're making Shechiyanu on, so the same would apply over here. We should make a Shechiyanu, we should be excited, but the point is, whenever we engage in a mitzvah that takes us a lot of effort and energy to fulfill or to accomplish, that is a great reason to celebrate. And that, says the Mishneh Berurah, is where the minhag developed, that whenever we have some sort of ending of a mitzvah process that took us a while to be able to fulfill and accomplish, we always have this idea of making a siyum, of making a simcha, of making a celebration where other people can participate and understand how important this mitzvah is for all of us. Rav Hanani ben Akasha.